We are back with the New York Baseball Podcast. It has been quite a long time. I think the last podcast we did, Noah, was in December of 2021, much before some of these huge trades happened, including Freddie Freeman, or not a trade, signing, much before some of those big, big market names signed last year, Carlos Correa. It's been a while, that's for sure. That's what I'm trying to say. So welcome back to the podcast. My name is Ari Weiss alongside Noah Schneider. And Noah, how are you?
Welcome back. I know it's been a long time. We're back here in 2022. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I know we're a little bit late, but we're happy to be back here. And, you know, we have another big off season, right, going on right now as we're speaking.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to all those who celebrated. Hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving meals. We watched some football. The Giants took a pretty rough loss, unfortunately, Noah. That was pretty devastating.
The Giants had a great first half and then a dreadful second half. Very disappointing.
At least our head coach shows a lot of emotion.
Oh, yeah. Dable is a tremendous head coach.
Tremendous. He's tremendous. I agree. All right. Well, we're here for baseball talk, so let's get right into this, right? I mean, we were off for a year, so we're going to have to make up for this lost time by talking about some heavy, heavy free agent talk. So there's been a lot going on, though. There's a lot of top free agents out there. I know that there's two big free agents, one from each of our teams. I'm talking about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, of course. No, I'm just kidding. No, you got Aaron Judge out there, who is a free agent. And, of course, you also have Jacob deGrom for the Mets, who is a free agent. So there have been some rumors for each of those players. We've seen rumors linking deGrom to Texas. We've seen rumors linking Judge to San Francisco. But I still think that despite those rumors linking those two players to those new teams, it's still going to be a pretty fair chance that both those players end up in their home uniforms, Noah.
Yes, no, I agree with that. I mean, I don't think we start with Judge. And yes, I know he was in San Francisco this past Tuesday for a couple of days visiting friends, or maybe also with the Giants for a bit. But I would say 80-20. Judge returns back to the Yankees. I mean, the money here and just being the captain and all the sponsors he'll get in New York. I do think most people think Judge will return. In terms of DeGrom, I put it at 60-40. I do think he comes back, but it seems like he's not as huge a fan in New York. And the Rangers have spent money. Last offseason, the Rangers spent a lot of money on Seager and Semien. So I do think chances are they will come back. I think the whole free agent market is kind of waiting on these two players. I mean, especially Judge. I mean, the Yankees and the Giants, a lot of teams are waiting for their other moves on Judge. So a lot of things are dependent on this signing. And I'm excited. I heard hopefully by the winter meetings, you know, in December, we have more information. But I agree. Chances are both return home. But you never know. I mean, if the Giants offer $500 million, if the Rangers offer $400 million, or if they offer a crazy offer, it's hard for these players to turn it down. So
that's kind of hard. Don't think that DeGrom is going to want to go to a team to finish fourth place in the AL West behind arguably the Astros, the Mariners, and possibly the Angels, who have spent a lot of money this offseason already. I think DeGrom is pretty much going to decide between New York and another high market, high playoff odd team. And I think he's going to sign with the Mets because I don't think a lot of teams are going to want to pay a 36-year-old DeGrom who's injured a lot the kind of money he's looking for. But I think the Mets will pay him that because Steve Cohen knows that the fans love DeGrom, and DeGrom has given so much to the city of New York and to the Mets franchise and organization. So I think Jacob DeGrom free agency sways the favor of the Mets. If we're talking about the Yankees and Aaron Judge, obviously, like you said, Aaron Judge was in San Fran the other day. He did meet with the Giants and Giants ownership. That was reported by JP Morosi of MLB Network. And so we did have those meetings, and it was set to go very, it was, they were set to be very productive meetings, and it was set to have very nice talks with them. However, we do know that Judge is suited for Yankee Stadium. He is marketable in New York. He has the Judge's chambers in Yankee Stadium. It would be pretty much a travesty if he left New York to go to San Fran. However, He did grow up near San Fran. He did root for the Giants growing up. He grew up about 2 hours outside of San Francisco in Linden, and he did grow up rooting for the Giants, and he liked players like Bonds, and he liked many famous Giants growing up. And the Giants are trying to emotionally pry Judge to sign with San Francisco. For example, there was reporters that released information that the Giants were trying to set up Aaron Judge's free agency camp with the camp of Steph Curry, famous point guard for the Golden State Warriors, who, of course, plays in a San Francisco team. So, no, the Giants are trying their best to sway Aaron Judge. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to not spend too much money on him so they can emotionally sway him to sign with the Giants. But they do want to sign him. It's going to have to be way more than $300 million. It's going to have to be in the range of $350, $360 for about 8 years, I would say. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the price for Judge, I know the Yankees last offseason offered $213. Now, obviously, it's going to go up after he had a historic year. The Yankees already made Judge an offer. I know we don't know what the offer was, but obviously he's still kind of shopping around. But I think from a Yankees perspective, like Judge, as you're saying, the Judge's chambers, he's such a big player. Even I think Judge actually sells a lot of tickets for them. Like, I don't think there's many players that sell tickets. Judge sells a lot. And we saw in September during the home run chase games that would normally not have a lot of fans. I mean, they were selling out Yankee Stadium when they ordinarily probably would not. I think he has the highest, I think the Judge jersey is the highest grossing jersey. Most people buy that jersey. So I think it's just hard to imagine him outside New York. I think the fans would be furious. And I think a lot of season ticket holders would not renew their season tickets. A lot of fans would not buy tickets. So I think from that side, you almost have to re-sign him just to keep the fans happy and keep the fans paying, you know, the Yankees. So that's another side to look at. Again, I do think he comes back. I think Hal Steinbrenner has had productive talks. Brian Cashman, I know they've talked to him a lot. There was an interview with Hal Steinbrenner, and he made it out like he would not get outbid for Aaron Judge. Right? He didn't say it outright, but he basically said they're not going to get outbid for Aaron Judge. So it will not be a money thing. So I think that's big. But I think Yankee fans should have confidence. I mean, it's not 100%, but I'm confident that Judge, you know, despite his postseason, right, despite a subpar ALCS, he had an incredible regular season. We were talking about the other day, how many wins did Judge have? Like maybe 10 wins he got them just alone. He had a great regular season and very consistent, and he stayed healthy. That's one thing to look for. Judge has had injury problems in previous seasons, but this past year he played, I think he played 160 games. He almost played every single day. So that's something to look out for. That's going to help his value as well.
There is that topic of Aaron Judge in the playoffs, and it is prevalent because if you want to succeed in New York, you're going to have to succeed in the playoffs because the New York Yankees are essentially in the playoffs every single season. So if we're going to be in the playoffs every single season, you need your franchise player to hit in the playoffs. And point blank, he's been horrible in the playoffs. He's awful. What is he hitting? Like one?
I mean, I think 2018, I think he had a good playoffs. I think there was one. I know he's hitting .211 career in the playoffs. No, I get it. I think with Judge, normally we'd be mad. I know the fans were booing him. Let's be honest. Some fans were booing him this year. But his regular season was so incredible. It's almost hard to criticize his playoffs. He had like a normal regular season. But no, I get it. I mean, it's something to look for. But I feel like
recall you saying that you didn't want Judge back at first because of his playoff performance.
Well, that was like the day after the ALCS. I was still disappointed about the whole sweep. But I mean, if you look back at the regular season, we're not even in the ALCS if it's not for Judge. So
I want to shift this conversation a little bit to the Mets for 1 second. Not with Aaron Judge, but with a signing that's already been made. Of course, we all know the Mets re-signed their big-time star closer, Edwin Diaz, to a five-year deal worth $102 million. And a lot of fans are going to look at this and say, wow, what an overpay for a closer. $102 million over 5 years, that's insane. I think it's a good deal. I think it's a good deal because you're paying for more than just Edwin Diaz. You're paying for the fans, and you're paying for just the significance of the trumpets and the fan base that intrigue to. So look, when you're playing for the Mets now that Steve Cohen's at the helm of ownership, he owns the New York Mets, they're going to be a playoff team every single year going forward. And that's pretty clear. They're going to spend money. They're going to make the playoffs every single year. And when you are in the playoffs every year, you need a closer that can lock down games for you. So I think it's a good deal, Noah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is the highest deal for a reliever of all time. I get that. But no, but Diaz, he was the best closer in baseball this past year, right? So I think he had a great season. I think you need him. I mean, your bullpen, other than Diaz, is not great. So I think it's a good deal. It is a lot of money, but I think it's really important. I know and that deal was made very quickly. I mean, it's clear that Diaz and Steve Cohen, they wanted to make a deal. You made it happen. 5 years. Listen, it might be a little high, price a little bit high, but he was so dominant. I mean, he struck out like half the batters. The year was incredible. And you need him, and you need him in the playoffs too. So I think it's a good signing overall.
I think what's really important to notice too is the best is yet to come from Diaz. Diaz is still super young. He's right in his prime. He's about to enter his prime. The year he had, Edwin Diaz, I'm not exactly sure how old he is off the bat, but I know for a fact that he is not the oldest player right now. He's 28, and you're signing him for 5 years. And closers don't take a lot of load on their arms. They only pitch about 60 innings max per season. So when you're looking at Diaz signing him for 5 years at age 28, he's going to be productive for all those years. He might not have the year he had in 2021, 2022 for all those years, but he's going to be pretty close to it, in my opinion. I just think that when you're signing a closer like that, you're putting faith in your bullpen to produce, because let's face it, the Mets bullpen right now is not that good. They have pretty much two relievers. They have Edwin Diaz, who is unbelievable, and Drew Smith, who is good. They don't have any other relievers right now. Ottavino's a free agent. Lugo's a free agent. May is a free agent. Julio Rodriguez, former Yankee, signed with the Red Sox. Trevor Williams is a free agent. There's so many free agents in the Mets and so many free agents in their bullpen. And I think it was very important that they got their most important bullpen piece back. Not only their bullpen piece, they're almost, I don't want to call him the face of their franchise because he's a closer, but he almost is because of the trumpets. And I think it's such a cool thing, especially when Timmy Trumpet came out that one game, they beat the Dodgers 2-1. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, he's a big, he's not the fan, I think maybe Lindor, Pete, maybe you'd call the face, but no, he's a key player and the fans love him. He's an all-star. And yeah, you need him. You're right. I mean, the rest of your bullpen, I'm sure there's going to be more moves. It's only November 26th today. There'll be a lot more moves, but having a good closer before, we saw the Yankees, they didn't really have a closer, and that kind of came back to bite them in the playoffs. So I think it's important to have a closer. And I think that Diaz is a great, again, tremendous year. I watched him pitch. I mean, just watching him, it's just like he struck, I believe it was 18 batters for nine innings, I think. It was
17.9, I believe.
18.9.
No, maybe it was 17.9.
Yeah, he struck out an incredible amount of batters. Yeah, he was just flat out dominant. He was almost like Clay Holmes was, like, all year. I mean, Clay Holmes in the first half, I mean, that's what Diaz was all year. So, great season. Yeah.
No, it was pretty clear Edwin Diaz is the best closer in baseball, and the Mets paid him like it. Look, they gave him $102 million. When's the last time a closer got $102 million?
Never.
Well, has Aroldis Chapman ever gotten anything close to that with the Yankees?
No.
Didn't he sign a big deal with them at one point?
I know Diaz has the highest deal, I believe, for a closer.
For a closer, but I'm pretty sure Aroldis Chapman signed a deal close to that at one point.
Let's see if I can find it. Chapman deal.
I believe that is what happened in that case. And maybe it was a similar.
No, he's on a $3 or $48 million contract.
Okay.
So I know Diaz. It's not even close. Diaz is the highest deal of a relief pitcher ever, closer, non-closer.
Mm-hmm.
So historic for sure.
Where do we think? Moving on, this conversation of free agency. So we have Aaron Judge, Giants, Yankees, pretty much a toss-up between those two teams as of this moment.
I wouldn't say. Although, I would say 80-20.
Slight edge to the Yankees, I'd give them. I'd say it's like 70-30 right now. We got Jacob deGrom, Rangers, Mets. I'd give it 80-20. Mets, maybe 90-10, honestly. I just don't see it happening, though. I don't see a situation where deGrom leaves. I want to talk about a free agent that is really underrated, and he's a really good outfielder. He's really improved a lot over the years, and watching him up close, being a Mets fan, he tugs at every Mets fan's heartstrings because he is, like, the nicest guy you can possibly meet. No excuses, no wind blaming, no roof blaming. He is the epitome of a good dude, and Brandon Nimmo is going to get paid a lot of money this offseason, and I really hope we find the Mets. The Mets need a center fielder. Nimmo is that. Nimmo hit about 280 this year with 800 OPS with over 10 home runs, gold glove defense center field, leadoff hitter, gets on base percentage above 360. He is just a great player. And I think it's really important so that they resign him. I think that the Mets should prioritize the Grom and Nimmo first, and then whatever happens after that is a bonus, in my opinion. You need some bullpen arms, obviously. But if they get the Grom and Nimmo, and then a couple other pieces under the radar. Maybe you sign a Jameson Taillon. Maybe you sign Trevor Williams back. Something like that. That could be good. But look, I think it's pretty clear the Mets are focusing on DeGrom and Nimmo. There's been reports by SNY as well that those are the two free agents they're prioritizing. So we'll see what happens on the Nimmo front. But I love Nimmo. I would honestly be more upset if Nimmo left and DeGrom left because Nimmo is an everyday player. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's just a fan favorite. So, of course, I want both of them back. I want DeGrom and Nimmo back. I love Jake. I love Brandon. But I think Mets fans would agree that Nimmo definitely appeals to the fan base a lot more. And, look, both players are very important, but we need both of them back, Noah. And in order to be competitive, I think it's very important that we sign them or valuable replacements. I don't think Bellinger would be a good replacement for Nimmo. Nimmo is miles better than Bellinger.
Yeah, well, Nimmo had a great season. I think, I don't know, what his post-game comments at the last game, kind of interesting. Unsure if he was committed to coming back or whatnot. I think he'll make a run for him. I can see Nimmo also being a backup for the Yankees if they don't get Judge.
Backup.
Well, if you don't, I don't, I want the rumors are the Yankees don't get Judge. They're going to spend money on Verlander, Nimmo, etc. But DeGrom, etc. I could see him a backup for the Giants, if the Mariners have checked in, the Astros, maybe the Rays. There's a lot of
If
teams that
Nimmo
do.
signed with the Yankees, that'd be a nightmare situation for Mets fans. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah,
Nimmo.
well, no. Obviously, the Yankees' priority is Judge. If the Yankees don't sign Judge, they may look Nimmo, Benintendi, etc. No, I think again, the Mets have the money. Steve Cohen can buy whoever he wants. The question is, do they value Nimmo? No, I think he had a great season. I think they
Me too.
should,
Have to.
and
I
we'll
think
see.
they're going to get both.
I don't know if you get DeGrom and Nimmo. I think that's tough to get both.
I think they're going to get both, but I think they might get both, and then they might get a few more pieces that are under the radar. I think those will be the two bigger signings, they believe. I believe it'll be, here are my official predictions, I'd say. I think DeGrom gets 4 years,
200.
180. I would say 4 180 for DeGrom. That's what I would say he gets, AAV of 40, right? And then I would say, is that math correct? 4 180
No, it's
AAV.
45. 45.
45. So
Well, he has to
AAV,
get more than Scherzer.
AAV 45. So that's what I think DeGrom will get. And then Nimmo, I can see 6 150, a very similar deal to George Springer. George Springer and Brandon Nimmo are very similar players. Very similar players. And I think because Springer got, I believe, 6 150, Nimmo will get 6 150, I think. And by the Mets, I think they'll offer that to Nimmo. And look, Steve Cohen is not messing around, Noah. He is going to go all in for all these players, and he's gonna make sure that he has the highest offer on the table for every player that he really wants on his team. So if
I
he
think
really
Steve Cohen has to. I think after the disappointing finish to the season for the Mets, I think the fans want to see him go out and be aggressive at, like he was with Diaz. So I agree. I do think Cohen will spend. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. Time will tell, but we'll see with Nemo. I think
indeed.
he's been a big piece. One more move I want to talk about, Anthony Rizzo.
Yes,
I
yes.
know that happened, I think, a week or two ago. Rizzo re-signing with the Yankees. And I think this is a big move. It didn't get a lot of media attention. People weren't talking about it that much, but I think Rizzo, for so many reasons, is a big piece to the Yankees. I look at A, defensively, a phenomenal first baseman, and that saved a bunch of errors from IKF, who already had a questionable season, but you could have been even worse without Rizzo. So again, defensively, obviously offensively, we saw the power. He had over 30 home runs and was injured for a large portion of the season. Great stadium. The banning of the shift next year, I think his average will go from 220 to 260. His average will skyrocket, and his leadership. Great leader, great clubhouse guy. Friends with Judge, so that's to look out for it. So I think, and he loves being a Yankee, and he's won a World Series with Chicago. So for all those reasons, he is a great signing. And again, a big left. The Yankees don't have a lot of lefties either. Lefty power bat. I mean, they're
They need
very
the lefties
right-handed
in that
focus.
lineup, that
So I think
pesky
again, having Rizzo.
ballpark.
So I don't know, Ari, what'd you think? I think it was a great signing, the Rizzo move.
They had to do it. If the Yankees re-sign Anthony Rizzo, their offense would completely just fall over. He was an essential part of their offense. Him and Aaron Judge essentially carried them the whole entire season on the offensive front. You can make the argument that Giancarlo Stanton also had a pretty good impact. Although he wasn't as good as Judge and Rizzo. Gleyber Torres was okay during the regular season. He's had a really good start. Then he kind of faltered. I don't know if you could say that about any other players from the lineup other than Judge and Rizzo, because those two players pretty
Yeah,
much one two in the lineup the whole
and
season,
he was
right?
injured a while. He was injured for like a month or two later on. But yeah, I agree. No, I think he was number two behind Judge.
I
So,
would agree with that. And what do we think about Trey Turner, Noah? Where do you think he's going?
I don't know. And that's the one where I honestly have no idea. Trey Turner, great shortstop. Maybe I don't think the Yankees. I think they have too many prospects. I don't know. What do you think? Where is he? The Mets, maybe?
Likely Philadelphia.
Philly.
Yeah, because they have their shortstop hole right now. I mean, Bryson Stott at shortstop, who's a very young player, has potential, but if they want to win now, he's not a win now player. So I think Trey Turner goes to Philly. But we shall see. Look,
Braves. Braves too, right? They're interested.
well, because they have a free agent at shortstop right now too, Dansby Swanson, but they might re-sign Dansby Swanson. He's a Georgia native, so he
True.
might take a hometown discount to re-sign with
Yes.
Atlanta. So yeah,
But
I
I
guess.
think that move is kind of dependent on the Judge and the. I think that move is kind of, we're waiting on the other moves, kind of say. But I'm
Xander
interested.
Bogaerts.
Oh yeah, Bogart. He's like, I think Boston. I mean,
Boston?
yeah, I feel like he's almost like Judge, and like they love him in Boston. He's like their guy.
I think Devers is their guy.
Devers, I think they love Bogarts. I think they'd be devastated to see Bogarts go. It was a rough season for Boston, so that was a pretty surprising that they had a last place finish.
Well, nobody saw Baltimore coming in fourth place in that division, I
Yeah,
believe.
Baltimore was fourth, but that was a good fourth place, and that was a really good. The
Were they
AL East had a
500 this
lot
year?
of teams, huh?
Were they 500 or over 500?
I think they finished over 500. I'll check right now. Orioles.
They were 83-79. Wow.
Yeah, they had a great season,
Wow.
and they traded key pieces at the deadline.
Trey Mancini, Jorge Lopez.
Right. I was surprised that they. I didn't think they'd be buyers, but I didn't think they'd be sellers. I thought they just kind of. That wasn't right to the fans to sell off when they were like actually in playoff contention.
Do we want to touch on the Astros for a quick bit on the World Series championship?
Yeah, we touched on it.
So you're a Yankee fan, Noah. I want to get your opinion. You obviously have a strong disdain for the Houston Astros. You're a Yankee fan. They
Of
swept you guys
course.
in ALCS, completely embarrassed y'all in ALCS. I mean, 4-game sweep, no game was particularly close. What did you think of that series? What did you think the Yankees did wrong? What did you make of the Astros? And why are they the better team? Because it's pretty clear that they're a better team. Why?
They were better on all cylinders, right? You look at a team, there's like four parts, right? First, their starting pitching is tremendous. Verlander, Framber Valdez, who not a lot of people really know about, but he's really good. Verlander, obviously, Cy Young. Christian Javier,
Oh man.
no hitter, basically like two no hitters this year, kind of. And even McCullers, who wasn't good in his start, but he's usually decent. But McCullers was actually pretty bad in the World Series. And you think, but their starting pitching was great. Their bullpen maybe even better. They just throw fire at you with Presley, with Montero. Who's the other guy? Who's the other big guy? There's three of them.
They got Presley, Montero, Brian Abreu.
Abreu, yeah, no, their bullpen is great, and then offensively, I don't think they're great offensively, but they're good in the they
Good
get
enough.
big hits, they get the
Good.
hits when they need them. They don't blow you out, or they never blow you out, but they'll get a 3-run homer from Bregman or Pena, who is like the next Derek Jeter. Right? They have a lot of key players offensively, and they take advantage of every mistake you make. The Yankees, if you look at Game 3 and 4, Game 3 they Bader and Judge drop the fly ball, next batter home run. Game 4 there's an error. And they score a couple runs. So they take advantage of every mistake, and they do just enough. The games were a blowout in that series. Game 1, 2, and 4 were all close, but they seemed like they're just one step ahead. And then the World Series, they got off to a rough start in the World Series, but they had the no hitter, and then their pitching just mowed it down. Game 4, 5, and 6, and again they got the big hits. And like Alvarez, as an example, he didn't have a very good postseason, but he had the big hits when he needed.
They
Against
were
Seattle, he had the big
down
hit. Against the Phillies, he.
1-0 and 2-1 in that World Series, and they won in 6 games. That just
Yeah.
shows you how good their pitching is. To come back from both those deficits and still win in less than 7 games like they did, incredible. And look, congrats to Dusty Baker, his first ring as a manager, well deserved. Every baseball fan want him to get that ring. And congrats to all the players in the Astros that had rings 2017 and wanted a ring that had a little more value than the one in 2017. As we know, 2017 with cheating scandals, and now all those players like Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Yuli Gurriel, they all have rings they can be proud of. Not saying they can't be proud of the rings 2017, but at least the fans can recognize this and say,
Yeah. Well,
wow.
2017, yeah, will always be looked at with an asterisk, right? Was it real? Was it fake? Whatever. This one will be real. And they start out the postseason 7-0. They mowed it down. It wasn't really even close. Even the World Series wasn't that close, if you think about it. After Game 3, when they got embarrassed. Game 3, they were embarrassed. I don't know if McCullers was tipping pitches
We
or
all know
what.
why they got embarrassed game three.
They were embarrassed in Game 3, and a lot of people thought the Phillies could win that. If the Game 4 was so crucial, I thought, and then. They threw a no-hitter. Just an incredible pitching performance. And again, they had some good defensive plays in Game 5. They played
Jazz
great series.
McCormick, unbelievable play in center field.
And then Alvarez in Game 6. That was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen. That was incredible, that home run.
Over the batter's eye against the
Yeah.
99 miles an hour sinker
That
down and away.
yeah.
Crazy. All right. Well, I think that's enough fridge to talk for now, but don't worry, guys. This podcast is not over just yet. Noah and I have something special today. No special guest yet. That is in the works. We do have another special guest coming on the podcast relatively soon. You might have heard of him before. We've had him on the podcast recently. I'm not going to spoil it yet, but all you need to know is it's going to be, I believe, what is it, 4-time repeat guest? 3-time repeat guest?
Three. This is his third time. Third
Is this
time.
third time? Okay. All right. So it will be a third time for him. So you can. All the loyal listeners out there can do some detective work and figure out who we're going to have on our podcast next. But in the second half of this podcast, we're going to do some rankings. So what no one and I have compiled is a top 10 list of our starting pitchers in the game currently and going forward. So we have 10 pitchers. We're going to go from 10 to 1. Noah and I are going to alternate our 10. Should we do alternating or should we just do our whole list first?
We can do alternating. I think alternating is good.
Okay, we'll do alternating. So first we're going to start out with our number 10, then number 9, then number 8, etc. So we're going to give a little bit of rationale for each, and you guys can argue in the comments below, whatever you post this podcast. It'll be on Spotify, Apple, although I don't think there are comments. But you can DM us on Twitter, at MYBaseballPod, or Instagram, at New York Baseball Podcast. You can tell us what you think of these rankings. So, Noah, you want to start out with your number 10?
Yeah, sure, I'll start. My number 10 goes to Max Fried, the southpaw on the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, he's had a great career, and I think he got a lot of attention for 2021, where he, you know, pitched in the World Series, had, you know, 6 shutout innings in that final game. So Max Fried, and obviously 2022, good season, an all-star. Gold Glover, he's won a couple Gold Gloves, I know. And I know people don't care about win-loss. He has one of the best win-loss percentages. Remember, he's 50.
Win-loss? What is this, 1800?
He's 54 and 25. He wins a lot of games. I know people don't care, but he does win a lot of games. Good ERA. I think he's an all-around. And I think he guts it out. Throws a lot of innings. So all-around pitcher. Max Fried, number 10.
I think it's a solid pick. No, I think he's a great pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. All I know is that whenever the Mets play him, they can't hit him. So he must be good. So my number 10 is going to go to a righty in the World Series that was not in the Astros. So you're probably thinking either Wheeler or Nola. And I have chosen Aaron Nola for my number 10. On these top 10 pitcher rankings. Aaron Nola, very underrated. He didn't get a lot of attention until the World Series when the Phillies were in the Fall Classic. Aaron Nola, 3.25 ERA this year. Not the best win-loss record, however. I believe he was 11 and 13. Yes, he was. So not the best win-loss record. Noah's not going to like that. But a 3.25 ERA with a wicked knuckle curve, a good sinker, the best front-door two-seamer you've ever seen. If you go on Pitching Ninja's Twitter account, all you're going to see is Aaron Nola front door two-seamers all over his Twitter page. So Aaron Nola has a nasty two-seamer, front door, back door, nasty curveball, good ERA, good strikeout numbers, a lot of games. Pitch. He's a horse. He pitched a lot of innings, a lot of innings for Aaron Nola. And look, he gets the job done when the Phillies need him. He pitched not that great in the World Series, I'm not going to lie, but he's got great stuff, and he's a solid pitcher, and he's a bright future. He's young, so the Phillies have a good one with Aaron Nola. He's my number 10.
Good pick.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
So moving on to my number 9, I have Julio Urias of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's had a couple of great seasons back-to-back. I mean, look at his 2021 campaign. Led the league in wins. He had 20-23, and he had a 2.96 ERA. And this past year had a tremendous year. Led the National League ERA, 2.16, 166 strikeouts. Again, he's another lefty. Like to see him more in the postseason, but he has really been a great pitcher for the Dodgers. Very consistent. He always goes out there. You know he's going to gut it out, throw a good start. In 2020, obviously, he was a World Series champion. He pitched that final game. He closed out that final game, right, in 2020. He was
the World Series that some people will call not the
– Yeah, the, for whatever World Series, he closed the game. That was the famous Blake Snell game, obviously. But Urias closed out the game. Pitch great. So my number 9 goes to Julio Urias.
All right. So my number 9 is another southpaw. This southpaw happens to be a very bright young pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. My number 9 is going to be Maxwell Fried of the Atlanta Braves. Max Fried, a great pitcher in the Major League Baseball. And he has great stuff. Wicked curveball, good fastball, good sinker. Pitches in big games, pitches well in big games. Max Fried always owns the Mets whenever we face him. I have an up-close look at him whenever I watch the Mets play, which is always. So Max Fried, my number 9. Let's look at his numbers. Good ERA under 3. Good win-loss, as Noah said before, for his number 10. A really good win-loss. Almost 30 over 500 for his career. So Max Fried, a solid pitcher. And I do have to say, Noah, having Julio Urias at number 9 is disrespectful. He is so much better than number 9. Oh, my. Like, he might have been able to win the sign this year. He had more innings.
Oh, we got a lot of good people.
All right, who's your number 8?
All right, I'll move on. Number 8, the World Series champion, Framber Valdez.
I was just heard you say that. World Series champion, Framber Valdez.
Yeah, that's terrible. But Valdez obviously gained a lot of attention this year. Had a tremendous season. 2.82, 17-6. He led the league in innings pitch, which I think is a big deal. I like innings pitch. He had 3 complete games. Which, again, no one has complete games anymore. He had a shutout. This is a stat I love. He pitched 31 games started, 26 quality starts. So basically every time out there, I give you a good start. 26 quality starts, low home runs, only 0.5 home runs per nine. And yeah, tremendous postseason. I mean, game two of the World Series, nine strikeouts, six and a third. Game six, six innings, just the one home run he gave up, solo home run. So again, during the 2020 postseason, 4-0, 1.61 ERA, 161 batting average. He was incredible in the postseason, great against the Yankees in his one start as well. So again, number eight, Framber Valdez.
All right, solid, solid pick. I again, a little bit disrespectful in my opinion to Framber. I think he's better than number eight. My number eight is Shane McClanahan. I'll come right to the chase. Shane McClanahan for the Tampa Bay Rays. Very underrated, plays in a very small market. Good sinker, throws 100 miles an hour. 2.54 ERA this year, 12-8. 166 in the third innings pitched. 19 home runs, not the best. A lot of home runs given up, sort of.
That is.
But a good strikeout to walk ratio, 194 Ks to 38 walks, 10.5 Ks per nine. It looks a solid pitcher and my number eight. So we'll go to Noah's number seven.
All right, good pick. My number seven, Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease of the Chicago White Sox. Again, no one really talks about Dylan Cease, but he ended up having a great season. He was pitcher of the month in June, and he was pitcher of the month in July, and he was second in Cy Young. You look at his stats, 14-8, 2.2 ERA. He did lead the majors with walks, 78 walks with 10.4% percentage, pretty high. But again, it was still a great season. Didn't come back to bite him too much with that low ERA. He had a complete game shutout. I remember that no-hitter, right? That was a shutout against the Twins. One out in the ninth. He was so close. Obviously, Arias, who ended up leading average, who stole the triple crown from Judge. But Arias had that base hit. But I think Dylan Cease, again, not many people know him. He pitched in the 2021 postseason, had a lousy start. But Julio, Dylan Cease for number seven.
All right. Good pick, Noah. Solid, solid pick, Noah. I think Dylan Cease is a very good pitcher in Major League Baseball, and good pick. All right. My number seven, who you completely snubbed on this list, to my dismay, is Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen is a fantastic pitcher. 2.54 ERA, 12-4, 184 innings pitched, 15 homers, 47 walks, 192 strikeouts, 5.1 WAR, Noah, for the D-backs for Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen is tremendous, and he is definitely going to be a force in that Arizona rotation for years to come.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Very good pick.
Thank you.
So moving on to my number six, it's got to be the National League Cy Young Award winner, Sandy Alcantara. Again, he plays in a very small market. No one knows him, but he had a tremendous season. He was 14-9, not a lot of wins, 49, but 2.28 ERA. He pitched 228 and two-thirds innings. That's a lot of innings. He led the league in Cy Young. He unanimously won the Cy Young Award, which is hard. And that rarely happens. And again, he just dominated. I mean, he had some good games against the Mets, I know. He really had a great season. Throws hard. He could throw up to 101. Good slider. Changeup. They throw this from pretty high velocity. So again, Sandy Alcantara, you gotta give it to the Cy Young. Great season. I hope he, you know, gets to play on a winning team. I want to see him in the postseason at some point. But again, Sandy Alcantara, number six.
All right. My number six is going to be the outstanding left-handed pitcher from the Houston Astros. That is going to be Framber Valdez, who Noah greatly disrespected by putting him at number eight in these rankings. Framber Valdez is a workhorse. As Noah said, led the league in innings pitched. 2.82 ERA, 17-6 for all my win-loss lovers like Noah out there. 201 innings pitched. 194 Ks to 6-7 walks, which is a lot of walks, I will be honest. It's not the best walk ratio. 8.7 Ks per nine, 3.7 WAR, 1.16 WHIP. Framber Valdez, great lefty for the Astros.
Righty, he's a righty. No, lefty. What am I saying? He's a lefty. Oh, my God. He is a lefty. He has that good curveball. It goes in the righties. Yeah, you're right. Framber Valdez. All right, good pick. Number five, one of Ari's favorites. Highest AAV right now, Mr. Max Scherzer, $43.333 million. Max Scherzer, the New York Mets, obviously he's old, but he is a great pitcher. I mean, I know this past year faced some injuries, missed some starts, missed some time, but he ended up having a very good season in his first season with the Mets. Let me can't find his stats on the site, but he had a great season, as I know. He did finish very poorly against the Braves and then had a very lousy start against the San Diego Padres in the postseason. But he's a workhorse. He's always wants to pitch, always wants the ball. You trust him. Career stats, 201, 102, career 3.1 ERA, over 3,000 strikeouts. He's a Hall of Famer, let's be honest. Let's keep it real. Eight-time All-Star, three Cy Youngs, two no-hitters, World Series champion. A little bit psycho, but he's a great pitcher. Max Scherzer, number five. He really, again, if I look at some more of his stats here, obviously he beat the Yankees back in his Tiger days, but he signed big years. In the 2019 postseason, he won game one, pitched well in game seven, right? Game seven of that World Series. He was a big reason why the Nationals won that one World Series, that kind of random World Series that they won. And obviously trying to do that with the Mets didn't really help him this year in the postseason, but hopefully in the future, pitch a little bit better. But yeah, that's my number five.
Very nice pick. I love Max Scherzer. Of course, he is a great pitcher in the league. High AAV, but he's worth every penny of it. Not the best start versus the Padres, but good pitcher, solid pitcher, amazing pitcher, I should say. Great dude, psycho, awesome competitor. Teammates love him. Gotta love Max Scherzer. All right, my number. What are we on? Six?
Hi.
Five. Okay, my number five is the disrespected Julio Urías, who Noah disrespected. As well in his rankings. Noah has some pretty whack rankings, I'm not gonna lie though.
Nah, you'll see what I got. I got some good people.
I know the top three are ridiculous for Noah. But
All right.
so Julio Urías, of course, the Dodgers ace, I would call him the ace at this point, better than Kershaw, better than Bueller, better than all those guys. Julio Urías is their ace, and he is fantastic. 2.16 ERA, 17-7, 166 Ks, 41 walks, 23 home runs, which is a lot. But solid pitcher, a great pitcher. He is a nasty curveball, good fastball, good changeup. Lefty, Dodger Stadium, Dodgers big market. Everyone knows him. Julio Urías, great pitcher.
All right. Then moving on, my number four is one of Ari's favorites, free agent. So we'll see where he ends up. But Mr. Jacob DeGrom,
Ridiculous.
obviously, he has a two Cy Youngs, Rookie of the Year, great 2018 season. This year, we didn't see much of him. Let's be honest, we did not see much of him. He was injured, and that's been his biggest problem is the injury. But when he did pitch, he looked really good. 3.03 ERA, not his best. 102 strikeouts and 11 starts. That is a lot. Or that like 9-10 start. Obviously, we're basing it off 2021. Obviously, got off to that great start. We thought he might set a record, and of course, he got injured, unfortunately. But again, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. We know that he's going to get a massive contract, maybe the biggest contract ever. Probably will be the biggest contract ever. AAV, not total, but AAV will probably be the biggest contract ever. Again, he was in that group with Harvey and Syndergaard, but he was the one who really made it out, if you think about it. Back in the day, we had Harvey, Syndergaard, Wheeler, but it was ended up being DeGrom who was the best one. All right, DeGrom is number one. Great stuff. Throws a hard slider. He really has impressed. People love him. Again, the question for him, can he stay healthy? All right, can he stay healthy? It's been an issue. I know it hasn't been, but the past couple of years have been a major issue. But if he's healthy, he could be a Cy Young. Probably will be the Cy Young. So again, number four, Mr. DeGrom.
All right, my number four is going to be Mad Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is dominant. Just a great pitcher. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, everyone knows who Max Scherzer is, and that's why I have number four. So I'll leave it at that. He's dominant. He has a huge arsenal of pitches. So many pitches. Cutter, sinker, fastball, changeup, curveball, slider. I mean, he has so many pitches. So, Scherzer is fantastic. And Noah, your top three are I'll let you explain it, but I can't wait to
I
hear
got
your rationale for number three too.
number three. I'll start with not biased at all, but Gerrit Cole. So
Oh.
the first thing you're saying, how can Gerrit Cole be top three? First of all, he led not AL, he led Major League Baseball in strikeouts. 257 batters struck out to Gerrit Cole.
Like what?
He led the league in strikeouts. I think that's important. I think it shows domination. I think it shows overpowering. He struck out a ton of batters. I get it. ERA a little high. I thought it was a little bit slanted. A couple bad starts, which kind of hiked up his ERA. But yeah, 3.5, 13-8 record. He gave, a lot of home runs. That's in the Bronx.
How
It's
many
tough.
home runs do you have now?
33 homers. 33 homers.
33 homers.
Listen, it's a
30.
lot of homers. However, I also look at his postseason. He had a great postseason in the Cleveland series. Tremendous game one. Gritty game four on the road after a devastating game three loss. Cole went out there in game four, had a great start. And then in game three of the ALCS, his defense screwed him over and his manager screwed him over. So again, Cole had a great season. It's making a lot of money, but he really, again, his ERA is a little bit slanted because of a few bad outings, I would say. Yeah, against the Mariners, he had a bunch of runs. But anyway, Gerrit Cole, better than his stats, dominant. He set the Yankee franchise record. Think about the New York Yankees. Franchise record in strikeouts was set this year by Gerrit Cole. That's something no one's talking about. That's historic. Practice judge. Practice judge. But Gerrit Cole set a record of his own. So Gerrit Cole, number three in that
I don't know
game.
how you could have a guy who's 3.5 ERA and gives up 33 home
There's
runs in
more
a
than
year to be
ERA. There's more than
33.
ERA. I'll tell
33 home runs in a year. That's a lot of home runs, Noah.
that.
All right. My number three is Sandy Alcantara, and I'll Cy Young for a reason. He's dominant. Innings eater. So many innings. He led the league in innings, I believe, the National League. A lot of strikeouts, pitches to contact as well. Although the Mets did crush him when we faced him. The Mets did crush him a lot. They hit him really well. Lindor got to him, Marte got to him, Alonso got to him. The Mets crushed him. But against most other teams, he was dominant. So good job, Sandy. And I'll Cy Young Award winner. Well deserved. Number
All
two for
right.
Noah.
Good pick. My number two, again, don't question it. Mr. Nestor Cortez. He had a great season for the New York Yankees. He threw an immaculate inning. Again, no one talks about it. He had an immaculate inning this year. That's something to look
That's
at.
why he's number two, because he won
That's
immaculate.
part of it. That's part of it. He was an all-star. He pitched a game with the Rangers, 7 1/3 innings, no hits. And then he got the hit, unfortunately. But again, he was an all-star. Great season. 12-4, 2.44 ERA, very low. Had a complete game. WHIP, 0.92. That's a great whip. He really had a great season. Again, I think he's underrated because he throws slow. He doesn't throw hard. He's not going to throw 100 miles an hour, but he's gonna pitch well. He's going to pitch. He's not going to throw. So Nestor Cortez had a great year. I thought he was pretty darn good in the postseason too. He pitched, remember, he pitched game two against Cleveland pretty well. Game five on short rest, where the Guardians were scared to use their guy on short rest. They should have. They didn't. The Yankees were not scared. They used him on short rest, pitched well. Very sad what happened in the ALCS with them, the injury. Very hard to watch as a Yankee fan with the injury. But again, Nestor Cortez had a phenomenal season. Again, people don't know him because he's new, but once his name gets around, people will know. Nestor Cortez. Thank you.
All right, we're running out of time here. Let's just get to the chase of these top two picks. Number two for me is Verlander.
Okay.
AL Cy Young. I mean, we're running out of time here, so I'm just gonna
Yeah.
leave it at that. Justin Verlander, fantastic. Old, very old, but he's still very good.
Gotcha. All right. And for me, number one, Justin Verlander, as I just said. Cy Young Award winner, 18-4, 1.75 ERA. Great season.
All right, my number one, none other than Jacob deGrom. Jacob deGrom, best pitcher in baseball, not even an opinion, not even a debate. It's a fact, best pitcher in baseball over the past 5 years. Dominant, great ERA every single season except for this season. They only pitched like a few games. So many strikeouts, so many not a lot of walks at all. To give you an example of Jacob deGrom's dominance, even though he had his ERA a little bit spiked this year, and again, I accredit that to him not pitching that many starts because of one bad start kind of spiked his ERA.
Yeah.
Jacob deGrom this year. If we want to talk about dominance, this is the definition of a dominant player. Jacob deGrom of the New York Mets this season. I'm going to pull it up here 1 second. Hold on. Jacob deGrom had 102 strikeouts. Okay. Noah, 102 strikeouts for deGrom. How many walks he had?
Like what,
Eight.
10,
Eight.
8? That's a good
Eight walks.
ratio. That's like
Eight
10
walks.
good
That is how
ratio.
dominant DeGrom really is. He barely walked anyone. He pitches in the strike zone. 100 miles an hour, 96 mile an hour slider. He is just insane. He's a madman. He's the best pitcher of baseball, and not even a question. So that's it for our rankings. That's it for our podcast. Hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned for our next podcast, which will be in about a week or so when we interview another guest that you may have remembered on our podcast. It'll be a three-peat for him, but stay tuned for that. Otherwise, Noah, any final remarks on this
That's
lovely Saturday evening?
what I got. That's what I got.
All right. Thank you, everybody. In that case, we appreciate you all listening, and we will catch you on the flip side. Remember to follow us on Twitter at NYBaseballPod, Instagram at NYBaseballPodcast, and yeah, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye. I stopped.